Good morning. Yeah, so I'm here to deliver a message of freedom today, and I'm excited about it. And so I want to read some scriptures, and we're just going to dive right in, if that's okay. So I'm in Ephesians. Most of the day I'm going to be in Galatians, but I'm going to start in Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 2, and I just want to read a little bit for you. It says this, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." If you follow that down a little bit further into verse 8, it says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that none would boast." And so the good news for everyone who has ears to hear it is this, that we are alive to God in Christ. Before, when we were in sin, we were dead to it. We were dead to God. We couldn't hear His voice. We couldn't walk in His ways. But because of what Christ did, not what we did, but because of what Christ did, Christ made us come alive to God. So now it says we're actually this. It says we are dead to sin. One of my favorite chapters in Romans. We are dead to sin, but we're alive to God in Christ. Now that's good news, because if you run across most people, they believe they're dead to God and very much alive to sin. But I would tell you that the gospel, that's why it's called good news. It's the best news you ever heard. The best news you ever heard is this: because of Jesus, you're actually dead to the sin, and you've been made alive to God in Christ. Now, if you're going to be alive, you also need to understand this. You've also been set free. If you're dead to sin, then you've been set free from sin. And so that's where I want to turn you to Galatians. So if you will, go backwards. I was in Ephesians. Go back to Galatians. And it says in Galatians 5, verse 1, Galatians 5, 1, it says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Why did Christ set you free? Because he wants you to live free. Because he wants you to be free. That was the intent and purpose behind his dying for our sins. Is not only are we alive to God, but we have been set free. And the word that Paul speaks here in Galatians to the church is, he said, "You have been set free, so stand in it. Don't go back." Now, there are some things that are like termites, and they'll just eat away at our freedom. I don't know if you've ran across any of them and if they've eaten away at your freedom before. But Galatians is written for that purpose, for those who maybe have stumbled, for those who have lost this thing called freedom that Christ paid such a high price for. Paul's writing to help them get that freedom back. So I need to tell you just a little bit about the book of Galatians in case you've never understood why was that book written and what does it mean to us, or for those that maybe have forgotten. So let me take you back for just a moment. Galatians was written by Paul to a group of churches, and they were these Christians, these young Christians who had found this freedom in Christ. They had found this new relationship with God, and it was exciting to them. But now they weren't Jews, they were Christians, so they didn't understand all of what it meant to be Jewish. Now, the Jews, they sort of claimed, they cornered the market on God, they thought, you know? And so the Jews start seeing these Christians who are just walking in freedom, and they're not walking by the law. Now you say, well, what's the law? The Jews had about 618 or so laws that if you were to number them, there were about 618 that you were supposed to follow. There was 365 of them that told you what not to do. Don't you love that when somebody tells you not to do something? Mm-hmm. Come on, I know y'all, some of y'all back in school, I know what happened when somebody told you not to do something. Made you want to do it anymore, didn't it? There was 365 of them. There was one for every day. You could be disobedient every day off of a new commandment, you know, a new law. And then the rest were laws that you were supposed to obey, laws about holidays you were supposed to observe, ways that you were supposed to eat, things that you were supposed to cleanse your food. Just a real drag, honestly. Yeah. But the Jews, they look at these Christians and they're like, they're not following the law. Huh. And they look at them, and now the Galatians, they were not a perfect people. All right, so for some of you who have come to know Christ and everything's not yet perfect in your life, that's okay. All right, neither were the Galatians. But the Jews, they look at these young Christians and they go, oh, they're still sinning. We got to do something about that. We'll go and we'll just hand them our laws. And we'll add that on to this thing that Jesus has done and just make sure that we can, you know, make everybody walk straight, do the right thing. And so they come in and they start trying to get these young Christians to follow these rules. And Paul writes some real stinging remarks to these folks. And he says, what are you doing? One, he says, what are you guys doing believing that? And two, what are you other guys doing coming in here trying to sell this to these young Christians? Trying to make them do all these things and telling them that if they do those things, that it's going to make them right with God. I started thinking about the church today. And I said, I wonder what the reputation of the church is in the world. Oh, come on, we know. We don't have to imagine long, right? The worst thing in the world to me is that the world, what it knows of the church, it knows about new rules that we establish for Christians. It knows us for our rules. It does not know us for our freedom. Isn't that amazing? Galatians 5 said it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Hang on to that freedom. Freedom is the most beautiful gift Christ has ever given you apart from salvation. Most wonderful thing. And yet if you ask people what they know of the church, they do not know us for our freedom. They know us for our laws, our things that we tell them. Now you got to do this in order to be a good Christian. You got to be this in order for God to love you. If you do this, then the old thing is, and you call yourself a Christian, right? You know, you call yourself a Christian. You hypocrite. Right? Yeah, y'all heard that too. Yeah. It's all kind of things like making people come to church, tell them about reading their Bible and praying, and you got to do all these things, right? You even gotta dress up in order to go to church. Because if you don't dress up, you're not giving God your very best, right? I had a pastor friend. I let him mess with him. And he's a suit and tie guy. And if you have freedom in that, God bless you. That's cool. You know, I got a suit. I wear it when people die and they get married. I typically don't wear it on Sunday mornings. But I'm cool if you do. But he thought that you couldn't even go to church unless you had on the proper attire. And so I told him one day, I asked him, do you have a quiet time? And he said, well, of course I do. First thing in the morning when I get up. I said, that's excellent. I said, do you wear your suit and tie to your quiet time? I thought that was genius. I don't know about y'all. I don't know how loving it was, but I thought it was brilliant. Yeah? Because I don't know about y'all, but when I get up in the morning and I have my hair's just a mess. You know, I hadn't taken a bath. I hadn't shaved in a long time. It's just me and God. And you know why? Because He is more concerned about our hearts than He is about all of these different things that we add on to religion. Now, why do people do that? In fact, I had someone ask me, why do we add all those things on, Kevin? Paul tells us in Galatians, and I'm going to summarize a lot of Galatians today, so I may not take you to all the chapters and verses, but I'll tell you this, Galatians only has 6 chapters in it, so you could go home today and you can read it, you can put it on and listen to it, and you can hear straight from the book. But the question to me was, why do we do those things to young Christians? And I would say, we do them for the same reason that these Jews came in and did it. It's because we understand the danger of sin. We understand that when people dabble into sin, that it's going to affect their lives in adverse ways. And I think that part of it is, out of great love, we want to try to protect people. But that's an outside-in pressure. You know, that if we can just put enough rules on people, in fact, even if we can punish people, you know, if we can scare them enough, they'll act right. If we could scare them enough and get them to act right, the electric chair should have done it. That should have done it, right? That should have been sufficient fear to make people act right, but it doesn't. You know, throwing people in jail, that should have been sufficient punishment, right? Yeah, I told somebody recently, I said, when I was born, not that long ago, there were 300,000 people in prison. Now there's 2.3 3 million people in prison. And as Americans, we love to punish folks. We love to punish some people. Is it changing society? Because outside-in pressure doesn't change people's lives. Parents, we love that, right? We love it. We have all this outside pressure, you know. We put this pressure on our kids to do right, and it's all this pressure. Sometimes we'll guilt them. Sometimes we'll threaten them within an inch of their life. Oh, come on. Don't look at me. Don't judge. You've done it too. You know, we'll threaten them within an inch of their life. We'll hem them up and we'll never let them out. You know, we're not going to even let you go out until you're like 25, you know. Yeah, and we try to hold them in. What do we do when we put all this outside pressure on people? I think we chase them further from God. I think we run them further from God. Because there's something inside of us that wants to be free. There's something in every one of you. And it wants to be let loose and to be set free. And so every time you feel these things coming in, you push against it. And that's why the Jews, Paul said this in Galatians chapter 21. He says, if the law had been given, which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. He said, if the law could set you free, then the Jews would have been the most free people in the world. But it can't, and so they weren't. And outside pressure doesn't work. I've used this before, and I'll use it again. You ever had or seen a dog and you just kept it chained all the time? You just kept it on a short chain? Kind of like our kids. You see where I'm going with this? Kind of like our young Christians, you know, even older Christians. Keep them on a short chain so they can't mess up, so they can't do anything. You ever seen one of those dogs break that chain? It'll run for days, won't it? It'll run and run. Why? Because deep down, even that dog wants to be free. Yeah? That's what happens sometimes with our kids. We build these huge walls around them. We build these huge walls around young believers. And the moment that they taste a little bit of freedom, they're gone. And it's a scary thing. One of the worst things as a pastor for me is to preach grace and watch one of them run. Because what you do when you preach grace is you open the gates for people. And some of them will take off. I ain't seen some of them since. I just tell you the truth. I preached grace to some people and I ain't seen them since. Man, they took it and they were gone. And I'm like, man, that didn't work out so good. You know, and then you're like, oh, you know what I'll do? I'll just put some fences back around them. That's what the Galatians were happening to them. The Jews were saying, we got to pin these people up. These people could get loose. You know what Jesus says? He says that he sets you free and you can run if you want to. And you actually have to have the choice to run free. Because it's only true love when you have the choice to run and you don't. That's the only way love exists, is in freedom. I don't know if some of you have experienced that in your marriage or not. But the only way that true love works in a relationship is for there to be freedom in that relationship. Meaning that you cannot chain the other spouse to the sofa. You can't chain them to the refrigerator. Okay? The greatest relationships in the world, you know what happens? At the end of the day, everybody makes it back to the home. You know why? Because love brings them back. Because love brings them back. They're not chained to anything. They come back because they want to be back. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He set us free so that we can make a choice. And he lets us run from him if we want to. But he's there waiting. Because he knows that for those who have tasted of his love, that they'll be drawn back. And I'll tell you this, that love can hold people. It has a greater attraction. It's a greater glue. It's a greater magnetism. You get the point? It's greater than the law. It holds people tighter. And so it is why Christ set us free and why he loves us so. Now, that's why the church does some of the things you do. You're like, I wonder why the church was so crazy. No. It's because we're scared sometimes. You know, we're scared that people are going to make mistakes. And then then there's this issue individually. So I need to ask you a question that Paul asked this church. He asked them this. He said, are you trusting or are you trying? Are you trusting or are you trying? This church was getting in this habit that they believed that they had to do things in order for God to love them. I don't know if there's anybody here today that believes that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I would never embarrass you that way. But I want to speak to you for just a moment. That if you believe that somehow you're supposed to do something or do more in order for God to love you, I would say that you're trying. But what you need to do is trust. And I'm curious if there's anybody here that is living under this low-lying cloud of guilt. Anybody like that in the room? Yeah, I've already locked eyes with some of you. Good. We're going to have a conversation for just a moment, if that's all right. I'm going to ask the question again, though. Do any of you live with this low-lying cloud of guilt on your life? You don't know why. You hadn't necessarily done anything all that terrible, you know. It's just you just feel guilty. You just feel like you're not enough. Like you haven't done enough, can't do enough. Mamas, sometimes you think, I'm just not a good enough mama. I just, the house is not clean enough, the clothes are not done on time, whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm not good enough. And you live with this low-lying guilt over your life. And I want to tell you that the reason that there's that low-lying guilt over our life of we're not good enough is because we're living by this thing that Paul said, stop doing, you're living under law. Because I'll tell you, there's no end to it. That's the problem with the law. There's no end to it. I've preached a fair amount of funerals in my life. And I've sat beside some people on their deathbed. And I can tell you that I have never encountered a single person that said, you know what, Kevin, I'm leaving this earth and I feel like I've loved my family perfectly. I've never ran into that person, man or woman, that said, you know what, I feel like I have perfectly loved my kids. I feel like I've done everything right. Never met that person. I've never met a person on their deathbed that said, you know what, Kevin, I feel like I have read the Bible as much as I ever needed to read it, prayed as much as I ever needed to pray, walked in fellowship with God as much as I have ever needed to walk in fellowship with God. I've never met that person. Do you know why? Because you can always do more, right? If you read a chapter, you could have always read two. If you read all day, you could have read faster. Yeah? Loving your kids, you could have always done more. You could have always stayed up a little bit longer and had a little less sleep. That's the nature of the law. It's never good enough. Oh, that's where that low-lying cloud comes from. Never good enough. You see, that cloud comes because that's what the law does. The law's absolutely perfect. And until you do it perfectly, you're going to have low-lying guilt over your life. So you're like, okay, how do I escape that low-lying guilt? You get to this place where you realize, you know what? I cannot love my kids perfectly. And so I'm going to just trust that God's going to show me how to parent today. I'm never going to read the Bible enough. So I'm just going to trust that when Jesus said He died for my sins, that's enough. Anybody hear this? That guilt is going to stay hovering over you until you make a decision between trying and trusting. And so you got to wake up each day and decide if you're going to try today or if you're going to trust today. And trusting looks like this. God, you're good enough. Your sacrifice is good enough. I'm not going to read enough today, pray enough today, whatever. I could always do more. I could always be better. And so I can't even pursue that. So I'm going to pursue you, and I'm just going to trust you to be enough today. And every time that guilt comes, that's what you do. I can either try harder or I can trust. And this trying hard is killing me. And so today I'm going to trust. Father, you're good enough. Did y'all receive that? I hope you did. Because I believe there's a lot of Christians that are living with low-lying guilt. They look like pig pen, just dirty all the time. Just always dirty. Can't figure out how to get clean. And I'll tell you, it's because you can't. Only Christ can. Some of you might say, Kevin, I think I've heard you say that before. I've said it a lot. I'm going to say it a lot more. If you hang around here, you're going to hear me say it a lot. I looked at the scripture and Paul talks about it a lot. I think it's important because he did. And I run into so many people who are just like that. And so it's this thing of trusting and not trying. And then there's this thing of dabbling. Any of you ever dabbled into sin? Some of you have. The rest of you are lying. Okay? Yeah. So we understand what that's like. So the thing is, once you begin to experience freedom, then the question comes up that says, well, can you just go do anything that you want to do? That comes up in Scripture a lot. The question, well, then if you're set free, can you just go and do whatever you want to do? Paul has this brilliant answer to that. It's in Galatians 5:13. And he says this, don't use your freedom as an opportunity to do whatever you want and then destroy your freedom. Oh, that's good. Paul says, you've been set free. Now, don't use your freedom as an opportunity to do whatever you want and thereby lose your freedom. Some of you where that still hasn't sank in yet, he says it in Romans, and I want to tell you what he says there. That's Romans 6, 15 and 16. I'm using the Message translation right now just because it's so down to earth. And it says this, you've come out from under this old tyranny, that law, that system of trying to do everything right. And it says, does that mean that we can live any old way we want to? His answer is this, there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Do you call that a free life? What do you get out of it? Where did it get you? A dead end. So let me explain that to you. As we become free in Christ, there's always that sort of allure to the things out in the world. And sometimes we might go and we want to go dabble back into something, you know, and try a little bit of sin. You ever heard that phrase that sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go? You ever heard that? The moment that we return to sin, that's the time that we have lost the very freedom that God gave us. You see that? You've been set free. So when you go back into sin, you're surrendering your freedom because sin's going to take it from you. It'll take you further than you ever wanted to go. If I remember the phrase, it says, it'll keep you longer than you ever meant to stay. Anybody ever done that? I didn't mean to get all wrapped up in it. You know? I didn't mean to get caught up in it. But what happened? It stole your freedom. And it says it'll cost you more than you ever meant to pay. And so whenever you use your freedom as an opportunity to sin, then you've lost your freedom. And many people have done that. They'll hear this message of grace and they'll run out. And they'll think, well, man, then I can just keep doing whatever I want to do. God will definitely still love you, but it'll be your last free act. And so what Jesus is trying to do is this. He's trying to operate from the inside out. And when you have freedom and you can say yes to Christ, that's the most powerful thing in the world. Let me explain to you. About 100 years ago, Brantley and I got married. How long ago was it? Hold on, it's written in my ring. It was upside down. September the 6th, 1997. Yeah. The reason I can make fun of that is because one year, somewhere in the midst of these 100 years, Brantley forgot our anniversary. It was the most glorious moment of my life. She was like, oh! I was like, no, it's good. It's good because you just bought me an insurance policy. I was like, don't be sad because I'm not. So on September the 6th of 1997, me and this woman said yes to each other. And do you realize that if you say a powerful enough yes, then you say no to 1,000 other things? In 1997, we said a very powerful yes. And if we continue to say a powerful yes, then here's what happens. I say no to everybody else that comes along, and so does she. Now, that's a lot stronger than us sitting around worrying about what each other's doing and where each other's going and trying to make sure that we don't get tempted by something else. We're so worried about the no, we ought to get excited about the yes. That's what salvation is being able to be so excited about the yes that we say no to 1,000 things. And so on that day, when we said yes, she said no to 1,000 men. I'm not sure if I said no to anybody. I was just glad to have her. I thought I better get her while I could. Isn't it going downhill? Yeah. I'm moving to another example. I've got a calendar. I bet you do too. And when I lock someone into an appointment at 2 o'clock, I say yes to them. But you know what I'm also doing? I'm saying no to anybody else that comes along. I can't meet with you that day because I've already meeting with somebody else. If you will say a powerful enough yes, you won't have to say no. It'll automatically be no. That's what Christ wants from you, is that His love for you would so convince you that you would be like, man, I've never had it this good. I've never been so loved. I have never been so free. That you say, yes, that's for me. And then you look at something else and you go, nah. You say it's 1,000 no's, and it's easy to say no. Why? Because you have found that one yes. So let me wrap this thing up, and I want to do some ministry time for some people. I want us to pray if anybody has some of these things that we've talked about. We cannot control people through guilt and manipulation and punishment and law, because as soon as somebody gets a little bit of freedom, they're going to run and you're never going to see them again. It has to come from the inside. It has to be a heart change. And many people haven't experienced the freedom of God because they've been trying to earn grace. They've been trying to do better, be a better Christian, be a better parent, whatever it may be. The reason that that doesn't work is because you can always do more. It's never enough. And so each day we have to get up and just trust God that He is enough. That He is enough. And then the reason that we don't dabble into things is not because of people threatening us or the fear of punishment or whatever it may be. It's that we look out there and we go, you know what, if I go back into that, I will lose all of the freedom that I have gained in Christ. And I am so enjoying this freedom. Oh, and one more thing. Can I speak to the men for just a moment? I spoke to the ladies. Can I speak to the men? Fellas, sometimes we do not follow Christ for that trusting and trying reason. We've seen all the rules, and we know that we can't follow those. And men, we're the kind of thing that if we're going to do it, we want to do it right, aren't we? Yeah? So if we're going to start something, we want to be able to finish it. And if we're going to do something, we want to be able to do it well. But we see all these rules and stuff, and we go, oh, I can't do that. You know, I've seen this whole Christian thing the way it's been modeled for me. I can't do that, so I won't even start. And there are a lot of men that never even start a relationship with God because they don't think that they can measure up. I got good news for you. You can't. You can't. But what you can have is an amazing relationship with God. Amazing relationship with God. And you don't have to get it perfect in order to start. Because none of us are going to do that. So I want to encourage some of you men. You've been holding back. All right? You've been holding back because you think you can't do it perfect. And I would say that nobody can. Christ has set you free. So go and get in this relationship and experience the greatest yes of your life. So stand with me if you will. Chris, we just need something kind of in the background. Nothing real loud. And I want to just have some time to minister if we can. So anybody who wants to to participate in doing ministry, if you guys will just come up to the front right now, we'll have some people that people can see and speak to. Y'all come on in. Come on, come on, come on, come on. There you go. We're going to at least create an opportunity. All right? And I'm here as well. I really want to attack this thing of that low-lying guilt. I want it to be gone in your life. Okay? Anybody's been dabbling in sin, then let's get some freedom from that thing. Okay? All right. Father, you have set us free. You have called us loved. You love us right now. We can't be loved any more than we are loved right now. You died because we couldn't get it right, but you did. And we can enter into a relationship with you. I just pray that if there's anybody been holding out, that Lord, they just trust and quit trying. I pray for the people with low-lying guilt, a cloud over them, that today they're just set free from that. I pray for anybody dabbling in sin that right now they would return to the freedom. They would realize that they are dead to sin and alive to you in Christ. Holy Spirit, move. Have your way. Set people free in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to take some time. Allow some people, if you want to come up and receive some prayer or ministry. In Isaiah, it says this. Come and let's settle this. I love that. Come and let's settle this. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash them white as snow. Man, isn't that good? God inviting you. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Let's settle this thing. Though your sins have been as scarlet, I will wash them white as snow. Get up come Monday morning, like, man, I've been washed white as snow. Did you wash? No. He washed. Did you wash? No. He washes. Let me just speak that over you again just one more time. Come, let us settle this. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash them white as snow. That is what Jesus does for us. He came that you may have life and have it abundantly. He came that you might be free. And so go in Jesus' name and live free and live forgiven in Jesus' name. God bless you. We're going to hang around. If you need ministry, just come up this way. Y'all have a great week. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.